Life is a gift from God, and what you do with it is your gift to Him. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about living life on purpose.
Correction shows me how to get right, and instruction shows me how to stay right. How many of you would agree with me this morning? I've got to have God's Word every day. I need to know what's right. I need to know what's wrong. I need to know how to get right, and I need to know how to stay right. And that's not going to happen by watching ABC and CBS and HBO all day long, but it will happen by opening up the Bible.
Few people have a plan for their lives. Most are spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. As a result, many end up discouraged and disillusioned. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can live your life on purpose, and it begins with letting Jesus take control. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series, Living Life on Purpose, will help you discover God's plan for your future and allow you to intentionally live the life He has created you to live. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Guarding Our Testimony.
Truth ought to change the trend. And when you get saved, God says your manner of life ought to be affected by the doctrine of your life. Look at Philippians 1:27, our theme verse. Only let your conversation, that speaks of your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And then 1 Timothy 3:9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. You see, any Christian who's living a life that is dishonest, who's living a life that is immoral, who's living against the Word of God, cannot have a pure conscience. He cannot be right with God. His conscience is afflicted by the Holy Spirit because the trend is not consistent with the truth, and he knows this. And so Paul's reputation was the result of daily choosing to die to self and daily taking up the cross and daily living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the truth in his life, the trend was a trend for purity. But I want you to see, secondly, it was not only a life of purity, but Paul spoke of a life of purpose. Now notice that in verse 10 once again. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, and now we come to this word, purpose. Now, a leader's purpose relates to his personal motive for service. It relates to the driving passion of his heart. What is the passion of his life? What is the reason for his existence? I believe with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, who said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And someone might say, Paul, when did you get into the ministry? You didn't go to Bible college. Well, how do you know you're in the ministry, 2 Corinthians 4:1? He would say, the day I got saved, God called me to serve him and to be involved in the ministry. It became the passion of his heart. And my friend, when that day came and the light shone down from heaven on the Damascus road, and Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And when Saul was converted, that day changed everything for him. The truth of Jesus changed the trend of his life. He was a hating man and a murdering man and a criminal of a man. But from that day forward, he lived not to bring death, but to bring life through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a new purpose in his life, and his purpose was wonderful. Now, if Paul was to sit down with parchment and pen, and if he were to do as many corporations do today and as many Christians do today, if he was to write a purpose statement, I believe his purpose statement would be this simple: to know Christ and to make him known. To know Christ and to make him known. From the time he got saved, those were the two things. He said, Timothy, you know that my desire and my purpose was very clear. Now let me share that with you, to know Christ. Philippians 3:10. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Philippians 4:7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted but loss. Paul said, Timothy, after I got saved, the thing that mattered most to me was to know this one who saved me more intimately, was to get to know more about Jesus. By the way, that means if you hear John 3:16 10,000 times in your life, you ought never to go, oh. But you ought to say, here it comes again. God loved me so much that his only begotten son came to die for my sin. Paul said, I just can't hear enough of that. I just can't know enough about him. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know the doctrine of my Savior, the miracles of my Savior, the salvation of my Savior, the blood atonement of my Savior. I want to know him. And then he said, secondly, I'm living my life so that others can know him. So that others can know him. Notice that that others may know. At Corinth, that was his desire. 1 Corinthians 9:16, he said, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Someone says, Paul, why did you go to Corinth? Was it to study the culture? Was it to try some of the Corinthian seafood? What did you go to Corinth for? He said, I went there for one reason and one reason only, and that was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But hey, on that trip you took over to Thessalonica, what did you go there for, Paul? To see the Colosseum? To see the temples? Why Thessalonica? He says in Acts 17 in verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them in 3 days, Sabbath, reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Notice that phrase, as his manner was. In other words, he was a predictable man. Everywhere he went, he told others about the Lord Jesus. And then notice at Ephesus in Acts 20:20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've ever visited Ephesus or looked perhaps in some picture books, you've seen that there were terraced houses that were very wealthy, large Roman homes, even with running water. There may have been shanty houses outside of town, but Paul said he just went to everybody, house to house, publicly, everybody that would listen. He wanted them to know that Jesus Christ was the resurrected Son of God. This past week, I thank the Lord for over 800 of our church members who joined in our fall evangelism outreach. What a blessing yesterday to see probably 500 people in this auditorium getting a friend and getting some gospel tracts and going out somewhere to tell others about the Lord, changing the trend of the minimal witness of Christianity and saying, look, at the truth of Jesus is still real to me, and the truth of Jesus Christ is changing the trend of my life. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, at the end of this life, it's not going to matter whether the Dodgers win or the Lakers win. NASCAR is not going to matter. I'm going to tell you what the angels in heaven rejoice about is one sinner coming to Jesus Christ as Savior, keeping the main thing the main thing. And I'm just saying this morning, when you get a hold of the truth, it's going to change the trends. And watch this, as the trends change, the testimony is built. And that leads us to our third thought this morning. Establish your testimony. Establish the testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's come back to the text this morning. Notice 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, that was the truth. Manner of life, that was the trend. Purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now please remember this morning, this message is not about your legacy. It's not about my legacy. What people remember about us. This is a message about our testimony, and will they remember Christ in us? Will they remember that Jesus Christ changed our lives? With so many people today, it's all about the individual. It's all about ourselves and how we are perceived and how we are remembered.
You're listening to Daily in the Word with Pastor Paul Chappell and our series called Living Life on Purpose. The second half of today's message is coming up next.
Do you ever have trouble balancing all the competing demands for your life, from family to friends to church to career to finances? Balancing life is a challenge, and that's why I've written the book Stewarding Life. This book will challenge and equip you to strategically invest your most valuable resources for God's eternal purposes. You see, life is God's gift to you, but what you do with it is your gift to God. The book Stewarding Life can be yours today as you make a donation to the Daily in the Word broadcast. Simply go to paulchapel.com and order yours today.
Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Paul Chapel.
Heard about a fellow that walked up to a heavily booked flight at a counter at the airport, and they were having to rebook all kinds of people because of weather problems. And there was a little lady there trying to help people, and there were several dozen angry passengers. This man walked right to the front of the line. He put his ticket down. He said, "I want to be on this flight today, and I want to be in first class. Take care of it." She said, "Well, sir, I want to help you. I really do. But there's a whole line of people here that I need to take care of first." And she said, "I'm very sorry." And she was trying to be kind. And he said to her, he said, "Do you have any idea who I am?" Well, at that very moment, without hesitating, she took the public address microphone. She said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have a passenger here at the gate. May I have your attention? We have a passenger who does not know who he is. If anyone can help find his identity, please come and help this man at the gate." You know, there's a lot of people like that. It's just all about them, you know, what people think of them and how they can make an impression. But I want you to realize today, what we're talking about is not about how they see me. It's how they see Jesus in me, how they see Christ in our lives. And I think sometimes, as I said earlier, we have to pull aside on a day like today and think about this. Are the trending in my life right now, is that going to help others to see Jesus in me, or am I trending away from a godly testimony? Am I trending toward a Christ-like testimony? Am I stewarding this life in such a way that people will see, I think first of what Jesus would have me to do? I think it was about 15 years ago I sat down and I wrote down some of the vision, and I tried to set some of the direction for my own life and family. And our kids were still young. I wrote down words like this, and I have them listed, and I read through them once or twice a week. I envision my life as a life invested in loving my family, laboring for Christ, and leaving a godly example and written philosophy of ministry for the next generation. Then I thought about my marriage, and I wrote, I envision my marriage to be an ever-loving relationship of spiritual growth with a sense of godly satisfaction and strategic mentoring in the twilight years. And then I thought of my children, and they were probably primary age at that time. I said, I envision my children and their spouses to be growing in Christ and in His service. I envision them walking in the truth and leading their families in the truth. Now, I had no guarantee when I wrote those words that God would bring us to any particular direction. I just knew that if I didn't start planning as a young father to take the family in a direction that would glorify God, he who aims at nothing hits it every time. And so I set a desired haven and a goal, and I set the trend in a Christ-honoring way. And I'm telling you this morning, there are trials along the way. Every marriage has challenges and sometimes strife. And when the children become teenagers, sometimes it's even more difficult. But the fact is, it is responsibility of every parent, every Christian, to stop today and say, where are we headed? Is the trend heading in such a way that the testimony will please the Lord? Now, let me tell you something about this testimony. A testimony is built as you faithfully live out the truth through the trials of life. A testimony is built as you faithfully live out the truth through the trials of life. Some of the people we respect the most have been faithful through some tough times. So let me encourage you as we close on how to stick with it and have a testimony that honors the Lord. Notice, first of all, Paul said he was persevering in trials. His testimony is so well known because of the way he kept on keeping on for the Lord. Notice that, if you would, with me. In verse number 10, it says, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them the Lord delivered me. Out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now think about this word, persecutions. He says, I want you to know that along the way of getting the testimony that I just told you about, Timothy, that testimony that you fully understand, he said, along the way, it wasn't always easy. And just think of his first missionary journey. Sometimes we think about missionary journeys. We think about chopping some bananas off a tree and, you know, building a church with, you know, with bricks and passing out some leaflets. But Paul, when he described that first missionary journey, he was sent from the church at Antioch. The Holy Ghost separated him out with Barnabas. And when he got along his way on this ministry, the Bible tells him that there had been problems here and there. In Acts 13:50, it says, "But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas." And so the Bible tells us then he went to Iconium. And there at Iconium, Acts 14:2, "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles," verse 5, "to use them despitefully and to stone them." So here he gets to his first stopping off place, and they're so angry at his message, they want to take rocks and they want to stone him. And this has been the case today in Indonesia, in the Boxer Rebellion in China, throughout history, looking back, even to this very moment, there are Christians on this planet who are suffering for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul finally got to Lystra on his missionary journey. And when he got to Lystra, the Bible says in Acts 14 and verse 19, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." You thought you had a bad day witnessing? You think it's hard when someone slams a door or doesn't say thank you for the Bible? Paul said at Lystra, they literally gathered stones and stoned him and threw him outside the city, thinking he was dead. And Lystra was the hometown of Timothy. It's very likely that Timothy's first idea of ministry was seeing the apostle in a pool of blood. And the Bible says that Paul rose up, and you'll never believe what he did if you read through the book of Acts. He went from that place of Lystra to the next town of Derbe. He walked 41 miles the next day after being stoned to tell another city about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if ever anyone was qualified to teach us about persecutions, it was the Apostle Paul. He had a great testimony through his persecutions. But look at what he tells us there in verse 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Let's read that verse together, verse 12. Ready, begin. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall..." My friends, don't be surprised if a business partner is frustrated at you because you love the Lord, or even a family member because you want to thank God for your food, because you want to honor Jesus by going to church. Don't be surprised if there's some suffering that comes for your faith. Paul tells us that was a part of his faith. I remember visiting Oxford and standing there near Balliol College and just touring through some of the different places. And I just looked on the wall, and I didn't plan to see this. I'd read about Latimer and Ridley and Cranmer. These three men who, during the Reformation years, began to realize that it wasn't the church and it wasn't the sacraments, but that the just shall live by faith. And I read here the plaque which says at the bottom, "were burnt for their faith in 1555 and 1556. These were but three of many thousands who, because they simply believed Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, they were burned at the stake, and many of them by Bloody Mary and by the Roman Catholic Church died because they said, it's not the church that takes men to heaven, it's Jesus that takes men to heaven, and they suffered for their faith. We're so blessed here in America. Though the culture's changing, though pluralism is abounding, yet we have the freedom to preach Christ. May we persevere in the times of trial. But notice, secondly, we must persevere in the truth. If you want to have a good testimony, catch this last thought, and we're nearly done. Look at verse number 14 at what the Bible says. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Continue thou. All right, look right up here. Very simple. You want to have a Christ-honoring testimony? Don't quit. All right, let's say that together.
Don't quit.
Continue in the things that you've learned. A few years ago, I was invited to preach up in San Jose, California, and it was an opportunity that I looked forward to for a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons was it was the church where I had grown up and the church where I had been saved and even married. And now, many years later, they said, "Pastor Chapel, would you come and preach for a Monday night of our Bible conference and so forth?" And I said, "Well, I'd love to do that." And I went up there to San Jose, and I remember walking into the church a few years ago. And as I walked in, the congregation wasn't as large as I remembered it, and the church wasn't as large as I remembered it as a child. But I walked into the foyer, and there was a man who came to greet me. He was hunched over. He shook my hand so warmly. He looked up at me. He said, "Paul, it's so good to see you." His name was Matt Morelli. Matt Morelli, 40 years prior, had been my Awana teacher, one of my Sunday school teachers there at the church. He had taught me some of the very first Bible verses I ever memorized, had taken me out camping with some of the boys and told me the things of the Lord. And here he was 40 years later saying, "It's so good to see you. I'm so glad God's blessing your ministry down there in LA County. And it's such a blessing to have you." And there were several others that were there from that time period of the church. And I got to tell you what, my heart leapt for joy just seeing a man who 40 years later was still serving Christ, still faithful to his church, faithful to the things of God. And he brought glory to Jesus that day because he was continuing in the things that he had learned. I don't know what's going to be written on my tombstone or yours, but I have a feeling that whatever it might be will be determined by what I decide to do today. I must decide to put my life firmly on the truth. I must decide that I will purpose in my life to live for him even today. It's not that complicated, folks, if you follow the scriptures. Just think about it very quickly. First, I've got to have a mind and a heart for the truth. I've got to let the truth renew my mind. And then as the truth begins to permeate my life, who Jesus is, he's my Lord, he's my Savior, it's going to affect the trends of my life. I'm going to begin to act differently and think differently and live differently. And ultimately, as I live differently and for my Lord, my testimony becomes known. And I want to challenge you today, get grounded in the truth. I want to challenge you today, let the trends change. And let Jesus change your life. And ultimately, you'll have a testimony that will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus. Now, let me say this before we close. If you've never come to the truth of Christ, I mean, if you are sitting here right now and you are not sure that heaven would be your eternal home, you're not sure that your sins are forgiven, the doctrine of forgiveness and justification is not something that's real to you, then I want you to understand, my friend, there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. This church cannot save you. The baptistry waters cannot save you or wash your sins away. But Jesus Christ can save anyone that will come and seek him today. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before you worry about your testimony in the sense of cleaning things up, why don't you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and let him forgive your sin and give you a new start today, the kind that comes only by knowing Christ as your Savior. Today could be the day of your salvation. The Bible says, "For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell has written a companion book to this series by the same title, Stewarding Life. You will enjoy this incredibly encouraging book. It is a wonderful resource as a follow-up study tool for today's series. You can find out more about this book when you visit strivingtogether.com. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.